Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text will be the focus of the gospel reading tonight. There's also an outline for you in your bulletin. It continues on the next page as well. But our series tonight is beginning of our series on family. And while I can't say that I am a father, I definitely have lived in a family for my whole life. So I have a good experience there with the best of times and the worst of times that family life can offer, you could say. And so we're going to be looking at two families, particularly in our gospel reading, the family of Herod and the family of Zechariah. So that would be the first blank there. It would be Herod's family and Zechariah's family. This comes from verse 5 of our gospel reading, where it says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah." So first, a little bit about Herod, and maybe you know some about him. He's the Herod the Great. He lived around 73 BC to 4 BC, so he's the one who helped rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But if you called him a monster, that would probably be putting it lightly. He was one of the most cruel people probably that's ever lived. He was married 10 times and ordered the execution of 2 of his wives and 3 of his sons. And when his father was poisoned, he actually invited the assassins of his father over to a dinner party and where he had them assassinated. Yes. And eventually when he got older, he got to be 69, and he was kind of realizing, hey, no one's going to really care that I'm gone. No one's going to cry. And so he wanted people to do that, so he devised one plan that right before he died, he would gather all the leaders in the land together and lock the doors and then have them all assassinated right before he died. So at least somebody would be crying at the time of his death. So, not a very pleasant family. This is a story of, in the late 1800s, two paddle boats on the Mississippi River left Memphis, and they were racing to get to New Orleans. And as one of them fell behind, they decided, oh, let's just take some of the ship's cargo and throw it into the oven. And they realized, huh, well, that's helping us go faster. So they kept doing it, and they going faster, and they threw more and more of it in. And they ended up winning the race, but they had no cargo left when they were done. That's kind of the picture of Herod's family, is that he wanted to win so bad, and he wanted to control everything so bad that he ended up burning all of the cargo, ended up destroying all his family and people that he interacted with. And it's probably easy to say, thank God I'm not like that, right? I'm pretty sure none of us can completely relate to that. But we can relate to this feeling of wanting to be in control and wanting to have ambition so much that we end up hurting the people around us and getting there, whatever our goals are, at their expense. Wanting to dominate people rather than submit, wanting to rule rather than to serve. And maybe you remember some of the things that we confessed earlier in the service, those times that the words that we say do cut literally to the hearts of those that we love, those in our families. There's times when we are selfish and aren't the most loving that we can be, and we end up hurting our children or our spouses. We end up hurting those people that we love. There's those times that we know certain things from God's word, but we just ignore it and choose to look the other way. And Herod's kind of an example of what happens when we take that to the extreme, right? The disobedience and the turning against God and His will. But thankfully, we have another example of the family, and it's the family of Zechariah. And it says he was chosen by a lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord. So he's a priest of the Lord. And this was a great honor to go into the temple of the Lord. There's only 56 priests a day that were in the temple, and there were probably 20,000 priests total at the time. So this was a rare privilege to get to go into the temple of the Lord. But unfortunately for Zechariah's family, they had no children. Elizabeth was barren. They were both well advanced in years. It doesn't say how old they were, but they were well past the childbearing years. And this was especially hard for Elizabeth because it says in verse 25 that she felt it was a reproach among the people for her not to have kids. You kind of still get that way sometimes today, but especially back then, to have children was to kind of to have everything, right? If you didn't have children, there's a lot of disgrace and there's a lot of shame that you weren't good enough or that you weren't loved. So they wanted to have kids, but they were well beyond that. There was no going back. And it's often those things in our family that are the hardest regrets that we have in our life. And I don't know, maybe if you experienced a time maybe when you wanted kids and you weren't able to have kids, or if you can remember when you were single and you wanted to be married and it just didn't happen. Maybe you're unmarried, right? Maybe it's not always a bed of roses, not always what you pictured, right? People who've been married longer can probably speak to that. It can get us to feel kind of disgrace and shame. It can get us to feel like we're a reproach to the people. But the good news is it's not the end of the story here for Zechariah and Elizabeth, and it's not the end of our story either. And what God does is He sees brokenness and He intervenes. And He brings those same gifts to Zechariah and Elizabeth to us today. And these are those three promises that we have. Number one, that God's promises never end. Being barren and wanting children wasn't anything new. Something that people had struggled with for a long time. Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel all at one time didn't think they were going to have children. And yet God provided for all of them, including Hannah. Gave birth to Samuel, one of the greatest prophets and priests in the Old Testament. So God remained faithful to His word to preserve the line of Abraham, right? To preserve His line until eventually Jesus would come. And like Elizabeth, they all at times felt disgraced. They felt like God was neglecting them, that they weren't loved. But God answered their prayers. And maybe He doesn't always answer the fertility question for us, but He certainly comes to us and reminds us that, you know, He loves us and He's going to provide for us what we need, and that really in having Him we have all that we need, and even more than we could imagine. And the second one is that God's presence never disappoints us. If you remember, Zechariah was chosen to go into the temple. And really what it was is to go into the temple of the Lord, the presence of God, right? And so he would go into the holy place and be right where the presence of God was. But yet in Luke 23, it says, after Jesus dies, the curtain of the temple that divides the holy place and the most holy place was torn in two, so that now all of us have access to the presence of God. And it's when we know that Jesus is with us, and we can know that his presence is never going to really disappoint us. It may give us things that we don't expect. It may not always give us what we want, but we know that Jesus is never going to disappoint us because he's with us. And it's even those times when we, you know, take the body and blood of our Lord at the altar, that we can experience that and taste it and feel that his presence is still with us. And his presence with us tells us that we're forgiven for all those failures in our families, all those times that we've been selfish, all those times that we've hurt each other rather than built each other up. And his presence is there to remind us that he's not going to forget us, that he hasn't left us to be a disgrace, but rather that we're his chosen special possession, that he's going to continue to work out his plan of salvation for the world, right? Finally, God's plan never fails. That would be number three. God's plan never fails. Specifically with Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were promised to have a child, John the Baptist, right? Again, in a seemingly hopeless situation, they think, oh, there's no way this could happen. God's plan doesn't fail. He comes through, and he still gives it to them, even when Zechariah himself doubted it from the word of the angel. Right? He still provides. He's faithful to his promise. And we have this wonderful plan that God's plan is to turn the hearts of the fathers towards the children. It's actually part of his plan is to reunite the brokenness in families caused by sin. So it's the prophecy in Malachi is going to, as a messenger, is going to come to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of children to their fathers. Then when John the Baptist is about to be born, he says he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So he's fulfilling that prophecy that this is part of God's restoration work, is to rebuild the brokenness in families, right? And it's God's will for us to all be one in him, so that we would never have any more division or any more hurt or pain. There's a story of a mother coming home from a grocery store, and she looked in her living room and saw four children sitting in a circle, and she got a little closer. She noticed that they were playing with skunks. And they were saying, oh, those are the cutest skunks we've ever seen. Of course, when she notices that, she says, run, children, run! So they each grab a skunk and run. The skunk. Well, you can imagine things get kind of smelly and stinky after that incident. But you could say it can be the best of times and the worst of times in families. Right? There's no perfect family. There's no perfect Christian family. There's don't be deceived by the Hallmark cards, right? We all think we got the most unique, challenging situations in our families until we talk to somebody else's family and we see that, oh, go through some of the same stuff, right? But the message we have today is when things do get stinky, things do get smelly, and that Herod in us starts to creep up again and wants to dominate, wants to control, or wants to take revenge, and wants to divide. Instead of giving into that, we have the reminder of God's promises, the reminder of God's presence, we have the reminder of God's plan for us to reunite us and to grow us up in him, in his one true family that lasts forever. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.